It's December the 13th. Let's read the Bible. Welcome back, friends, to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. As you know, we've been counting down the days. Well, we started counting back in January, but had a long way to go back then. Now, we are counting down to Christmas, and then to the last few days of the year. We are almost to the end of our year-long adventure reading through the Bible. I suppose I should ask you, this being December the 13th, are you ready for Christmas? Is anyone ever really ready for Christmas? But what a wonderful season of the year. If you're asking me, Pastor Ray, have you done all your shopping? No. I tend to be last minute about stuff like that. But I love this season of the year. I love the food, the fun, the mistletoe, the parties, and especially the music of Christmas. So I hope you're having a wonderful December. I hope you're going to have a great day today. Thank you for being with us. Someone wrote a note and said, my family started following you during the pandemic and all of the online Bible studies. And then they said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, it was that triple thank you that got my attention. And I remember we were just several weeks into the pandemic back in 2020. No one knew what was about to happen. And I just came down here and I turned on my computer and then focused it on me and sat down and as best I could began to teach through the book of Daniel. Later did the book of Galatians and later did the book of Revelation. Later did the book of James and still later did the book of Ephesians. It has been so much fun. And I think we wouldn't be doing this Bible reading video series if not for those pandemic Bible studies that we started. It seemed like a long time ago. It's really only 3 years ago. Needless to say, we are glad you are with us. Whether you joined us for those Bible studies, and probably most of you just hopped on the Bible bus as we started reading, this has been a legacy project for me, and I'm so grateful that you have joined us for it. So today, we're in the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. Now, well, there's a lot of issues here. Habakkuk, where is it? It's in the Old Testament. It's in the Minor Prophets. As someone said, it's in the white pages of the Bible. That is, it's in the part of the Bible that white pages, so we don't read it very often. And yet, this little book, we've had Hosea, and we've had Joel, and Amos, and we've had Micah. We just finished that. Well, Habakkuk is not like any of the others. Habakkuk, because of the nature of this book, stands alone. It's worth your reading and thinking about, because Habakkuk was a man who had questions for God. Have you ever wished you could sit God down and just say, Almighty God, Heavenly Father, dear Lord, I do have some questions about the way things are going in my life and in my family and the people around me. Have you ever felt God doesn't make any sense? Or have you ever found it hard to believe or hard to hang on to your faith because life seems to be tumbling in around you? Well, here we go. Here's a book for you and me. This is a book for those times in life when God doesn't make sense. The year is 605 B.C. I mean, and then we can't know that for sure. 608, 607, 606. I don't think any later than 605 B.C. That's the year when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army came for the first time to Jerusalem. Habakkuk clearly is writing just as that terrible event is about to unfold in the final catastrophic, chaotic days of the southern kingdom of Judah. Remember, the ten northern tribes, they're long gone, taken away by Assyria in 722 B.C. Really, the only part of Israel that's left is Judah and Benjamin down there around Jerusalem. And here come the Babylonian armies. And later, the whole nation, I mean, that thousands of Jews are going to be taken away into captivity. And Habakkuk is writing just in the midst, either as it's unfolding or just before it's about to happen. He's a contemporary of Ezekiel, Jeremiah. Other than his name, Habakkuk, we don't know much about him. But there are three chapters here. This is one where it's easy to give a simple outline. Chapter 1, faith tested. Chapter 2, faith taught. Chapter 3, faith triumphant. Or said another way, chapter 1, there's an argument. Chapter 2, there's an answer. Chapter 3, there's acceptance. Chapter 1, the prophet is asking. Chapter 2, he's waiting. Chapter 3, he's praying. Or even said one final way. There are three questions in this book. Question number 1, Lord, you see all the sin of your people. Why don't you do something? Question number 2, when the answer comes, question 2 becomes, how can you do that? And question number 3, how long will this last? This book opens with gloom, closes with glory. Opens with a question mark, closes with an exclamation point. Begins with doubt, it ends with confidence. It begins with complaints, it ends with celebration. So now we pray, Lord, speak to us as we read your word. Speak to us. Lord, we've got a lot of questions ourselves. We don't understand what happens around us. So would you speak to us through your word today in Jesus' name? Amen. Habakkuk 1, faith tested. The pronouncement that the prophet Habakkuk saw. How long, Lord, must I call for help, and you do not listen, or cry out to you about violence, and you do not save? Why do you force me to look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Oppression and violence are right in front of me. Strife is ongoing, and conflict escalates. This is why the law is ineffective, and justice never emerges. For the wicked restrict the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. Now, here comes God's first answer. Look at the nations and observe. Be utterly astounded, for I am doing something in your days that you will not believe when you hear about it. Look, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter, impetuous nation that marches across the earth's open spaces to seize territories not its own. They are fierce and terrifying. Their views of justice and sovereignty stem from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and more fierce than wolves of the night. Their horsemen charge ahead. Their horsemen come from distant lands. They fly like eagles swooping to devour. All of them come to do violence. Their faces are set in determination. They gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings and rulers are a joke to them. They laugh at every fortress and build siege ramps to capture it. Then they sweep by like the wind and pass through. They are guilty. Their strength is their God. Let me pause here in the reading to say that the first question is, Lord, you see the sin of your people. Why don't you do something about it? God's first answer is, yeah, I do see it, and I'm going to do something. I'm raising up the Babylonians to judge my own people. Here comes now the second question, verse 12. Are you not from eternity, Lord, my God, my Holy One? You will not die. Lord, you appointed them to execute judgment. My rock, you destined them to punish us. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil, and you cannot tolerate wrongdoing. So, why do you tolerate those who are treacherous? Why are you silent while one who is wicked swallows up one who is more righteous than himself? You have made mankind like the fish of the sea, like marine creatures that have no ruler. The Chaldeans pull them all up with a hook, catch them in their dragnet, and gather them in their fishing net. And that is why they are glad and rejoice. That is why they sacrifice to their dragnet and burn incense to their fishing net. For by these things their portion is rich and their food plentiful. Will they therefore empty their net and continually slaughter nations without mercy? Question 1. Lord, what's going on here? Your people, the Jews, are getting away with great evil and corruption. God says, yeah, I see it. I'm going to bring the Babylonians down to judge them. Question 2. Lord, our people are bad, but they are much worse. How can you use them to judge us? Faith tested, chapter 1. Now, here we go. Here we go. Habakkuk chapter 2, faith now is going to be taught. He's going to wait for God's response. I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the lookout tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I should reply about my complaint. The Lord answered me, write down this vision, clearly inscribe it on tablets so that one may read it, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie, though it delays. Wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. Look, his ego is inflated. He is without integrity, but the righteous one will live by his faith. Moreover, wine betrays. An arrogant man is never at rest. He enlarges his appetite like Sheol, like death. He is never satisfied. He gathers all the nations to himself. He collects all the peoples for himself. Won't all of these take up a taunt against him with mockery and riddles about him? They will say, woe to him who amasses what is not his. How much longer? And loads himself with goods taken in pledge. Won't your creditor suddenly arise? And those who disturb you, wake up. Then you will become spoil for them. Since you have plundered many nations, all the peoples who remain will plunder you because of human bloodshed and violence against land, cities, and all who live in them. Woe to him who dishonestly makes wealth for his house to place his nest on high to escape the grasp of disaster. You have planned shame for your house by wiping out many peoples and sinning against your own self. For the stones will cry out from the walls and the rafters will answer them from the woodwork. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and founds a town with injustice. Is it not from the Lord of armies that the peoples labor only to fuel the fire and countries exhaust themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives his neighbors drink, pouring out your wrath and even making them drunk in order to look at their nakedness. You will be filled with disgrace instead of glory. You also drink and expose your uncircumcision. The cup is in the Lord's right hand. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter disgrace will cover your glory, for your violence against Lebanon will overwhelm you. The destruction of animals will terrify you because of your human bloodshed and violence against lands and cities and all who live in them. What use is a carved idol after its craftsman carves it? It is only a cast image, a teacher of lies, for the one who crafts its shape trusts in it and makes worthless idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, wake up, or to mute stone, come alive. Can it teach? Look, it may be plated with gold and silver, yet there is no breath in it at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let the whole earth be silent in his presence. Questions for God. Chapter 1, faith taught, faith tested. Chapter 2, faith taught. God basically says, the just shall live by faith. Wait, and you will see the answer. Wait, I not only judge my people, I'm going to judge the Babylonians. God is completely fair and just in what he does, but the just, the righteous person, the just, the believer, will live by faith. You have those woes. Those woes are not announced against Israel. They're being announced against Babylon. The day is coming. Great day in verse 14. I want to come back to it. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The day's not yet come, but it's coming, and we wait for it. Meanwhile, the Lord is in his holy temple, meaning God, where is God? When the world seems to be blowing up, God is in his holy temple. His plan is working out. Let all the earth be silent before him. So we come to Habakkuk chapter 3. Chapter 1, faith tested. Chapter 2, faith taught. Chapter 3, faith triumphant. A prayer of the prophet Habakkuk according to Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard the report about you. Lord, I stand in awe of your deeds. Revive your work in these years. Make it known in these years. In your wrath, remember mercy. God comes from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. His brilliance is like light. Rays are flashing from his hand. This is where his power is hidden. Plague goes before him, and pestilence follows in his steps. He stands and shakes the earth. He looks and startles the nations. The age-old mountains break apart. The ancient hills sink down. His pathways are ancient. I see the tents of Cushan in distress. The tent curtains of the land of Midian tremble. Are you angry at the rivers, Lord? Is your wrath against the rivers? Or is your fury against the sea? When you ride on your horses, your victorious chariot. You took the sheath from your bow. The arrows are ready to be used with an oath. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains see you and shudder. A downpour of water sweeps by. The deep roars with its voice and lifts its waves high. Sun and moon stand still in their lofty residence at the flash of your flying arrows, at the brightness of your shining spear. You march across the earth with indignation. You trample down the nations in wrath. You come out to save your people, to save your anointed. You crush the leader of the house of the wicked and strip him from foot to neck. You pierce his head with his own spears. his warriors storm out to scatter us, gloating as if ready to secretly devour the weak. You tread the sea with your horses, stirring up the vast water. I heard, and I trembled within. My lips quite quivered at the sound. Rottenness entered my bones. I trembled where I stood. Now I must quietly wait for the day of distress to come against the people invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though the flocks disappear from the pen, and there are no herds in the stalls, yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer and enables me to walk on mountain heights. For the choir director, on stringed instruments. At the end of it all, this is what Habakkuk says. He says, I don't understand what you're doing, but I see, Lord, that you're great. What we need is a great vision of God. Let me make three quick comments and we'll be done. Number one, we come to these hard moments of life. This is certainly a hard moment for Habakkuk. Remember, we only see a part of the picture. We're like kids looking through a keyhole. I've told you that before. Habakkuk admits that. Lord, I don't see it all. Number two, remember, God is not limited by what we think he ought to do. We can give him advice, but who's going to be his counselor? He's not listening to us and asking for our advice. He is the sovereign God. Who can trace out his path? I can't. Who's going to be his counselor? It's not me. Look, if your God always does exactly what you want him to do, he's not the God of the Bible. Let me say that again. If your God always does exactly what you want him to do, he's the God of your imagination. He's not really the God of the Bible. Which leads me to say number three, we need a bigger God. I mean, Habakkuk at the end has a great big God. And he said, Lord, even if I plant the fig tree and get no figs, I will still trust in you. If I plant the olives and the fields produce no food, I will still trust in you. Though the flocks disappear from the pen, all my sheep are gone. I'm starving. He doesn't just say, I will trust in you. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. For the Lord, my Lord, Almighty God, you are my strength. So I guess it's a good question this morning. As we're marching up toward Christmas, where is our strength and where is our hope? The essence of Advent is we are waiting. I mean, the whole idea of Advent season is we are waiting. And so how much of life? We are waiting to get a report from the doctor. We're waiting to find out if she's going to say yes or no. We're waiting to see what's going to happen with our kids and grandkids. Waiting to see if we're going to get into college. Waiting to see if we're going to get the job. Waiting to see how life is going to work out for us. So much of life is waiting. And God's answer to Habakkuk's questions is not to give him a total answer, but to say, wait on the Lord. Those who wait will never be disappointed. One of the oldest of all the Advent hymns says, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Are you waiting today? We're all waiting for something. As we march along through December, coming up toward Christmas, in time, the days of waiting will be over, and the Lord will be born, and Jesus will come, and our Savior will appear. That's what marching toward Bethlehem is all about. So as you wait today, don't just wait, but hope and rejoice. Rejoice, 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 Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. So let's go out and have a great day. Yes, we are waiting, but God knows what he's doing, and he is doing it, and we can trust in him. So Lord, help us to rejoice while we wait on you. Go out and have a great day, folks. Guess what? Tomorrow, Marlene is going to begin reading 1 John for us. It's going to be great. Back near the end of the New Testament. Come back. God bless. See you tomorrow.